morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
We have a special segment today. We are talking with Kiki Dombrowski. She is a spiritual researcher and explorer who has spent her life studying mythology, magic, tarot, witchcraft, and the supernatural. She has a master's degree in medieval English from the University of Nottingham and a bachelor's degree in English and creative writing from the Southern Connecticut State University. She currently lives in Savannah, where she is a professional tarot card reader, certified life coach, and writer. So, and she contributes to Witchway Magazine, obviously. Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Me and Kiki just had a really fun ghost conversation. So anyone who wants to hear that, just listen like post credit of the podcast because it was a fun time. So you're here to talk about divination.
Yes. I love talking about divination.
And do you want to share why you're here talking about divination?
Absolutely. So I'm really excited. My book, A Curious Future, is being re-released through Witchway Publishing, and I'm so excited and thankful and grateful for that. The official release date is July 13th. You could pre-order it prior to then. But the second edition, which I brought it with me, you know, we get to see it because we're on video, but it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a beautiful book. The book A Curious Future is about a very, very wide range of divination. And the book, I've been calling it a gateway to divination. It is a really wonderful access point for people who are interested in exploring a wide variety of divination techniques to go ahead and check out. But it's not just for beginners. It's meant to be something that is inviting for all readers who may want to explore and expand their knowledge on divination and unique practices, or maybe sort of give them a welcoming invitation into divination techniques that maybe they, you know, felt put off by. And I'll say, actually, one example for me was astrology. So, I consider myself a pretty decent divination expert at this point, just, you know, from the research I did from this book and the fact that I use a huge variety of divination techniques, but I never felt confident about approaching astrology. And so I've always, you know, I'm always surrounded by astrologers and I have good friends who are astrologers. But it felt really, really good to learn about astrology and then try and share it in a way that was like friendly and approachable in this edition of A Curious Future. So I guess you could say I'm here to just share my excitement about divination. And hopefully, you know, that excitement is contagious and people are interested in getting their own copy of A Curious Future. It's just a lot of fun. And not only is it meant to be a way for you to sort of tell the future, but it's also meant to be a way for you to do some self-exploration, to connect with your spirituality. Divination can be an opportunity for you to have a daily or regular spiritual practice as well. And so I think that this book will allow you to approach it that way.
One thing that I've always known about you, or I've always perceived about you, is that you truly love divination. Like, you, anytime we've done an article in the magazine for divination, you're like, I want to do it and I want to write about this. Like, you are a very experienced tarot reader. And most people I know, myself included, is I like my form of divination. I don't care about other forms of divination. And that's just always, I think that's how a lot of people approach it. But you've always been just so excited about all of it. And that's something I've always envied about you and appreciated. But it really is contagious. Like, you and I pretty much just created a form of divination over the years. And I wouldn't have done that without you, you know, because you truly are so excited about it. And I think it is, I think it is contagious, and I think it's really cool. And that is why I've always trusted you with divination questions, because, like I said, people are typically only care about the form they practice. So when you have a general question, it's like, it's difficult to find someone to talk to about it, because they're going to come at it from the perspective of a tarot reader or a rune reader or a Lenormand reader. But because you have such vast knowledge about all of it, you really do come at it from a higher up perspective.
Well, thank you. That's really sweet to say. And if you hear Maya, she's sitting next to me meowing. I apologize. But you know, I appreciate that. And I will say that, I think that one way for that may allow people to feel like all forms of divination are worth at least, approaching, is that it does become a spiritual practice. It doesn't necessarily just have to be a practice of, I'm going to read the cards or read the leaves or read the runes and find out what I need to do about resolving a situation. It could also be a way to reflect on where you are spiritually, what you can do to maybe support your mood, or maybe, you know, give you a perspective that allows you to see things differently. It may be a source of inspiration. Some people use forms of divination in their magical practices. So, you know, learning about different forms of divination, to me, it's almost like just reading, you know, a different book on a different subject. You're just, you know, you're just expanding your knowledge. And I think too that it's so special to know about different forms of divination, because I believe that there are divination techniques that work for everybody. Maybe you're not big into tarot. Maybe you're not big into astrology. That's okay. Let's look at all the different types that are out there and find the ones that you resonate with, because those are going to be the ones that are the most effective for your own readings, whether you're reading for yourself or reading for other people.
You recently did a class on divination, using divination for self-care. Oh, yes. And I think that's a really interesting way of how you can use divination for things other than tell me my future.
Yeah, I've always been, and if you see me like looking around, I'm like, where did I put those notes for that class? Because I know we came up with some really good stuff, you know, to talk about during that class. But I think it is really important to recognize that the universe may be sending you messages that allow you to feel comfort and relief and security in the present moment. And so what can we do to bring our divination practices into the present moment to celebrate and honor what's going on around us right now, whether we sense it with our, you know, our five senses or something beyond that? We don't necessarily just have to constantly be pushing our sight out into a future time. While we can, and I have no issue about that, I think that the idea of that course in particular was, hey, you know, let's use divination as a way to sort of, you know, work on self-development, self-reflection, taking care of ourselves, giving ourselves the same, you know, loving advice that we may give the people who come to us for readings.
So we asked on our Facebook page or group if anyone had any questions for you, and we got some really good questions. So are you ready to like dig in?
I'm going to do my best. Yes, let's go for it.
All right. So we have a question from listener Cassidy. Cassidy says, I recently ordered a set of dice from Etsy that includes a few different styles of numbered dice and comes in colors corresponding with Midsummer. I'm so excited, but I've never tried divination with anything but tarot, and very sparingly there. Should I do any research or know anything super important before I start with my new dice? And what is a good way to cleanse them?
Wow. Oh, well, that's awesome. I'm so excited to hear that you found a set of dice on Etsy. And now I'm like, okay, now I have to go find the same set because that sounds like a lot of fun. So let's start with the idea of possibly doing research. I always think that, you know, there's something special to be said about just going in and giving maybe your intuitive interpretation without reading the book, without doing the research. But I also think it would be interesting to see what type of information on dice readings that you could find out there and see if that helps to build and develop your interpretation. So in other words, a little bit of both. I feel like that's a vague answer, but I think that it might be interesting to try. Well, let's try this exercise maybe. And let me know what you think about this, Tanya, too. Like, what if you did the dice and you got them and you rolled them and you got an answer and you wrote down your intuitive responses to it? Like, how do you feel when you see that number? What is your knowledge base already about that number? Like, if you get the number three, like, what do you think when you think of the number three? What does that mean in terms of an interpretation? And maybe if there are specific colors, you know, if you see the color yellow, what would that represent as opposed to if you had gotten the color blue? So maybe taking notes on your intuitive hits might be a very interesting practice to start with, but then following up and seeing what a guidebook may indicate about that specific answer that you got, and then compare and contrast. So see what, you know, that guidebook, what does that guidebook tell you about as opposed to, you know, what your intuitive hits say? My suspicion is that your intuitive hits will probably be along the lines of what you're reading in books. But I'm a big stickler for research. And I think that the more knowledge we absorb, the more complex, and I mean that in a positive way, the more complex and the more detailed and unique and layered our readings and our interpretations become. In terms of cleansing, there are all different ways that you could cleanse, and dice are kind of a fun way too. I don't know why, but the first thing that I thought might be fun is, what if you had a small bowl of sea salt and you just sat them in the sea salt? Sea salt is meant to be a very, very cleansing thing. So maybe that's a good way to sort of cleanse and purify your dice. You may want to sit it with different crystals, different purifying or cleansing crystals. The thing I would think of is, like, I might want to sit them on a, you know, piece of selenite or with selenite. For me, selenite is a very, very cleansing stone. But I encourage you to think, if you do work with crystals or stones, think about the stones that you find to be purifying. And then another method too would be using smoke from different cleansing herbs. That might be something too. I know people enjoy using white sage, but you can also use rosemary from your garden. Dried mugwort and rosemary might be a really good purifying herbal smoke blend, because mugwort is meant to sort of like enhance psychic abilities, and rosemary is very purifying and protective. So that might be a really good combo that I should write down somewhere for myself. So
no, I love that mugwort rosemary idea. And yeah, I agree. Especially for what it sounds like she has, it doesn't sound like she has a system that is like traditional or tried and true. So at that point, yeah, just go with your intuition and then see what the creator has to say. I would say my personal opinion, if it's a tried and true system that's like been around for a long time, mm-hmm. I would actually prefer the switch.
Yes.
Understand the system first. You have respect for it, and then yes. go with your intuitive hits. But yeah, perfect. It sounds like she has something very oracle-y that like someone created themselves.
I think that's a really great way to put that. And yeah, and I love that you made that mention, because absolutely, if you've got a tarot deck, please read a book on tarot. Take classes on tarot. I've been reading now for like 27, 28 years, and I'm still reading. Any book I could get on tarot, I'm going to read. Classes I take on tarot. It's never-ending knowledge that you can just absorb and celebrate. So yeah, don't hesitate reading those books, especially with those tried and trues. Yeah.
So our next question is from listener Teresa. Teresa says, what advice would you give someone trying to find their divination method that clicks with them? I just don't connect with tarot after trying for a year, and I just started water scrying, but I don't see images, but words come to me.
Well, it sounds like something is clicking with the scrying. And this is something that actually comes up in the book too, talking about the different clairs. So talking about different ways that we receive psychic information. So the interesting thing is when we think of scrying, and scrying is the divination of gazing. So scrying is when you kind of like use a very, very soft stare or gaze into a reflective surface. And the immediate hope is that you receive sort of these psychic visions. When people are seeing psychic visions, or sort of they see maybe with their actual eyes or their mind's eye, they're seeing something, that's called clairvoyant. But if you are hearing things, that's called clairaudient. So it's interesting that scrying, obviously you're gazing into something. So the expectation would be that, you know, maybe you're supposed to see something, but it sounds like she's actually receiving clairaudient messages. And so I encourage you to, you know, scrying is something that again, this could be a self-care technique also. It's a very relaxing and meditative practice. So you can always look at it as an opportunity to just be in a space of quiet and stillness in the present moment. But I would start making notes of whatever you're hearing, because those might actually be psychic hits. Those might be your clairaudient messages. And the other thing I would say too is that if you have the ability to just practice and work with different and varying types of divination, I encourage you to do so. So if you decide, you know what, I don't want to do scrying anymore, I'm going to try something else, like get some dice from Etsy, or see if you can find an oracle deck. Maybe tarot wasn't the right card set to do divination with, but maybe oracle will work well. So just don't give up. Realize that there are multitudes of opportunities to try different forms of divination. And as long as you stick with them or try them, you'll find something that feels good. I think that you're onto something with the scrying though. So keep trying and see if you hear more. And always, and this goes for anybody, no matter where they are in their practice, journal, write down notes, make notes of your answers, your responses, how you're feeling after doing the session, because that might be valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It seems like the scrying's working for her if she's getting messages. One of my favorite techniques, Teresa, is if you are hearing the words, if you are having that click in, one of my favorite methods of clairaudient kind of exercises is to like sit and go into a meditative state and then imagine like one of those old timey radios and let yourself hear white noise. And then in your mind, imagine tuning that radio and then seeing what other things come to you. But I mean, it sounds like the scrying is hitting some trigger, right? So
yeah, that's really cool. Clairaudient messages are really special, and they don't necessarily just need to be, you know, like words. They could be songs. They can be melodies. They could be sounds like knocking, right? So just realize too, like you may not get the clairaudient message. Hi, I'm a ghost. How are you? I have a psychic message for you.
I am a ghost.
if we got that, like somebody needs to put that person on TV. If somebody got that.
Our next question is from a listener, Brandon. Brandon says, are certain types of divination better than others depending on the situation or question? And I do have, if you don't mind me sharing real quick before you answer.
Go for it.
So I primarily use Lenormand. That's my main system. However, I do have different decks of Lenormand I use based off the type of question or who I'm reading for. Because I feel like I've developed a relationship with the certain decks. And I also, I am a big believer in respecting your cards. And when I say respecting them, I mean, don't suddenly change how you shuffle them. Don't start shuffling before you even know how you're going to lay them out. Like give them the opportunity to like be on the same page as you. But I have like different relationship with the cards, and some cards expect to read different ways than another deck of cards, or they are spread out different. But I will say, and this is not a plug, it's just true. The Witch Daily Oracle deck, we all created the deck together, and I feel like it's so specific to a witch's life. It'll be like rose quartz, do a spell. Ask your coven members. Like it's so witch specific that sometimes I'll be doing a reading and someone will ask a question that is about their witchy life. Like, what form of witchcraft should I concentrate on? Things like that. My Lenormand cards aren't going to answer that question, but that other deck will, you know?
I love that story. I think that's awesome. And that's a great question. And it's a great conversation that can fill like a year of podcasts, right? Like we can really do that. I guess that, you know, kind of bouncing off of what you said, you know, I guess it depends on how you interact with each of your divination kits. So I love that, Tanya, that you know, like, you know that the Lenormand may not be the right source to answer a question, so you use the Witch Daily Oracle deck. And you know what? In reflection, I think I'm just about the same way. Perhaps it depends on your mood or the question or the person that you're talking to. I'll give an example. Ben was asking a question about stocks, and you know how he's doing that right now, and you know, so for anybody listening, Ben is my boyfriend, and he wanted to pull a tarot card, and I was like, don't pull a tarot card, the tarot is not going to be happy. Like it's like I almost knew the personality of my tarot deck, and my tarot deck is not going to answer your question about the stocks, nor am I a financial advisor, nor unless like you're an accountant and you have like the degrees and the letters after your name as an accountant, should you be, you know, answering those questions. But Ben's my boyfriend, so it's an in-house, you know, inquiry. But, you know, I knew that the tarot was not the appropriate channel for that question. So I guess that, that in a way, trying to think of a really good way to answer that question. I think that, that when you know, I believe this, your divination kits, they become so personal, and especially kits that maybe are shells or bones and trinkets, you know, when they're really precious and personal items, they begin to take on a personality. And I don't know, like I have certain card decks where I look at them and I'm like, oh, that feels like, you know, a fun, you know, a funny answer. That feels like a very wise answer. And it's almost like they take on different personalities. And so you may find that there are certain kits that are appropriate for certain questions, just based on your interaction and knowing who they are.
Yeah, and I think when you have a deck for a really long time and you use it, you understand each other. And I also, but also for the reader, it creates a lot of confidence because you know your deck's not going to steer you wrong. Your deck is going to lay out the cards in a way it knows you can understand them. And that adds a lot of confidence to your readings. Let me tell you a fun story. I once had a roommate. She wasn't witchy. She definitely wasn't witchy, but she knew I was. And I can tell you she wasn't witchy because she kept telling me about like how it was her duty to, as a Christian, to save me. And oh, that boy. Like her boss, who was also, which I feel like is such a violation of like everything, but that her boss at the bank, like this was not the bank I worked at. This was like a whole different bank. Kept telling her that like she needed to save me. Anyways, you get the picture. However, she kept asking for readings. Right? So she'd ask me for a reading. And of course, like just a little baby wish. Like, I'm really excited. Like, I have my cards. We've worked together for like a year or two. And like I love them and I'm happy to use them. It got to a point where my cards kind of put down a boundary. Like it started giving her gibberish. So now I warn people, I'm like, if you ask me to do the same reading for you 3 times in a row or a week apart from each other, my cards are going to stop answering you because you're not respecting them, you know?
I think that's wonderful. That's a really great point. And it made me think of something. I'm just going to mention this before I forget it. When I read professionally, I use the same card deck for everybody, which is kind of interesting. So it's almost contrary to the answer I gave earlier, but the deck will let me know when it's not an appropriate question. In other words, prove, you know, here's a good example. Can you prove to me that you're psychic? Like the tarot is not going to answer that question. The tarot is not going to respond. Right. Or like you said too, if somebody has the same repeat question and they ask it, you know, every single Sunday for a month, after a while, the answer is going to become gibberish. It's just not going to make sense. And there are times where, you know, there are certain questions just ethically that I do not even approach with tarot or any other form of divination because I don't have the right certification or the letters after my name to make it appropriate for me to answer said questions. That's a sort of like protective boundary for myself even before I put the kit out and start interpreting what's in front of me. But I like that, you know, maybe in a way too, the divination will show you a response that makes it very clear that it's not the right kit or the right question for, you know, for that question.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.
Yes.
Let me make sure it starts.
There it is.
There we go. So yeah, like I said, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 doors in this house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of them has that cool, spooky, like, antique key, and it's just, like, so cool. Anyways, that last night, the night before, I was sleeping. And you know how your brain will, like, shift into, I'm dreaming, but now it's something else. It's, like, receiving messages or getting visited. You know, like, that just shift. I don't know how to explain it or what to call it. But that kind of happened. And I saw like 2 or 3 people and they were trying to talk to me or whatever. And then I hear, I don't want Belle to bark, but anyways, I heard like a very solid knock. Like it was like 3 raps. So it was like that. Belle didn't react. So I know she didn't hear it.
And I didn't hear it, but yeah.
You didn't hear that right now?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it again. Okay. That's so weird. I'll do it closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Mm-mm. I could see the screen shake, but.
I don't know how. That's so weird. You can hear me talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's so weird. Cause I feel like I'm doing it really loud. Anyways, it was 3 raps. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it clear woke me up, like fully awake. Belle doesn't react. And you know how she is. Like she smells someone across the street. She's letting everyone know.
Right.
And it's and I'm so far back from like the front door. I don't think I would hear the front door from there. So I'm wondering if it was like one of the other doors. So I start to think, well, what if it's someone like off the street, like a drunk person? It's New Orleans. But nothing came after that. It was just the 3 raps. And then Belle didn't react. So it completely woke me up for the rest of the night. It was like at 5 a.m. Yeah. So that was spooky. I'm excited to start to have more sensitive people in the house just to see what they pick up on.
Yeah, especially too. I was thinking, even with the key, somebody should hold the key and see if they can do some psychometry and pick up anything from whoever. I mean, because it's an old key, you aren't the first person to have that key in your possession. Mm-hmm. So there may, I guess, you know, the way that I've learned, and even the way that it's written in the book, one of the best conduits for psychometry is you know, metal. Metal objects are really good for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it might be a good one. Like jewelry, crystals, metal, all that stuff. A key would be like an antique key. That would be fun to do psychometry with.
It would be really cool. So, of course, now I'm wondering, like, how old is that one door? Because the house itself is very, very old. So, like, it's a cool thing. And I'm definitely getting vibes similar to vibes I would get on the other side because I lived on the other side of a wall of this exact same house. So I'm not unfamiliar with the energy. But I definitely feel it more over here than back there. But back there, I do question if maybe they had put an extension on the back there.
Well, and you could be feeling stuff too, because maybe because you guys are moving, you know how they always say too that hauntings happen when there's renovations. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you guys are renovating or like, you know, taking out a wall or anything, but there's a lot of moving around and shuffling and all that jazz. So maybe something just stirred it to wake up and just, you know, give you those 3 knocks and say, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. And what's crazy too, is that it just could not have been the front door. It just couldn't have. It's too far away. It's a shotgun. So 950 square feet as like a shotgun is a long house. So I don't know. It was a weird experience. And I don't know. I'm just excited to have other people here and visit and see what they think or see or feel all of that jazz.
Yeah. Oh, well, awesome. Yes. I'm glad you moved in.
Yeah. I'm so freaked out that I've knocked really loud twice and you haven't heard it.
I mean, maybe you're my, here. I have on like a little
Can
head.
Can you hear
thing.
Me?
Can you hear me knock?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And you can hear me well, right? Like I'm not
yeah,
super
perfectly.
Quiet.
Very clearly.
Okay. I'm going to do it again. That's just okay. For experiment. All I'm right. going to do it really close to the microphone.
Okay. I'm going to close my eyes.
I'm going to do it loud. Okay. Nothing. Okay, now we know something's up because I feel like I'm doing it normal. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe it's noise canceling. I don't know.